So from the perspective of the party trying to enforce the award, they will often be trying to go for the easiest route that will make it possible for them to get caught in sanction of the award so that they can then have it enforced through court processes.
Right. Then I would perhaps like to deal with the CISG, and this is of course a specialist field. My expertise is in international arbitration, so I'm a little hesitant venturing into the field of the convention. But as you were speaking, the solution that occurs to me is that the CISG and the model law illustrate the difference between a convention and a model law. A convention, you have to take the whole package. So if South Africa wants to become a member of the CISG, we have to take the whole package, whether it aligns with our existing law on sale of goods or not. In the case of the model law, we have been able to make one or two adaptations in the schedule so that we are satisfied that it will fit well with South African law, and that couldn't be done if we were talking about a convention. The second question concerned what the danger of a foreign company entering into an arbitration agreement with a South African party, and that arbitration agreement is perhaps relating to a contract, to put it perhaps even more graphically than your question, where there has been bribery involved or other serious malpractices are suspected. Now, in the first place, the South African party could say, but in the circumstances, we do not want to arbitrate. And they would then be able to go to a South African court and say why they think the matter should not be referred to arbitration. The court has a very limited discretion not to enforce the agreement. But at the end of the process, the award can only be enforced in this country with the sanction of a South African court. And one of the defenses available, both under the New York Convention and under the model law itself, is the so-called public policy defense. So that our courts could say it's not in the public interest to enforce this award. If I could give you a slightly different example, say an arbitral tribunal sitting in the United States imposes a treble damages award on a South African party, three times the amount of damages actually approved. They now try to enforce that award in South Africa, and a South African court could say, but this award is contrary to our public policy because the amount awarded is out of all proportion to the loss actually suffered. So, in short, there is a safeguard to prevent abuse of process. Internationally, arbitral institutions are increasingly aware in the current times of the need for arbitrators to act ethically and to be aware that agreements could have hidden motives which have to be taken into account in the arbitration. Then the final question related to the interaction between the proposed new legislation and the existing Act of 1965. Now, currently, the Act of 1965 applies to any arbitration with its seat in South Africa, whether the arbitration is between two domestic South African parties or between an international party and a South African party or two international parties. The idea is that this Bill will hive off the international arbitrations into a separate compartment, which will be subject to the new bill. Domestic arbitrations will still continue to be subject to the 65 Act. There is a draft bill in existence that was drafted by the Law Commission to have new legislation for domestic arbitration, but that bill has one or two controversial aspects, and it will be in the discretion of the Department of Justice when that bill is approved, or brought to Cabinet for approval and then brought to Parliament.
And the arbitrators, who are they and how are they getting appointed? What kind of expectation do you have to be an arbitrator at this particular level? And my question again, maybe it's because I did not have the benefit of the supporting memorandum on this one. Why is this this thing not left regulated by UN convention, for instance? Why different countries have to do their individual legislation on international arbitration when we've got an international? I know it does not have that much regulatory power, but by way of convention, it can always be regulated in my view. You know, we've got very bad experiences in history, I think you'll agree with me, Prof. That multinational corporations have got a tendency of playing big brother the same way powerful governments and states will do in the world. You know, I read a book about a multi-corporation that would go to countries and enter into contracts. After entering into contracts, go in there or send their secret agents to cause war into those countries. They come back with an intention of under the disguise that they want to assist the country reconstruct in the aftermath of the war or whatever. Are we not in some way compromising the sovereignty of countries yet and still the big brothers in the world to take dominance and still colonize it in a special way?
Honourable Chairperson, if I can deal with each of your points, I think it's perhaps useful to start by looking at the origins of the UNCITRAL model law, why it was a model law and not a convention. Now, the origins of the model law, and this would be in the early 1980s, came from the Asian African Consultative Council, and they proposed that the ambit, the sphere of application of the New York Convention on the Enforcement of Foreign Arbitral Awards needed to be extended so that there was greater uniformity of law applying to international arbitration in the world. And after discussion in which Asian and African parties were prominently involved, it was decided that the way to go was rather a model law. Precisely as I explained earlier, that a model law can be adapted to local circumstances, which for a convention is more difficult. So that was certainly one consideration. I'll maybe come back to that point again, and multilateral or multinational corporations, which are a legitimate concern. Now, your first question was, why does one go straight to arbitration? And with a commercial agreement, if I was drafting the clause, I would ask for a mediation provision, or I would insist on a mediation provision being put in first. So it makes absolute commercial sense that you first try to settle your agreement by mediation, and the Law Commission at the moment, the Law Reform Commission, has a project committee that is actively looking into promoting or to proposing legislation which would promote the use of mediation in South Africa, which would then encourage its use in a situation like this. Now, as far as the appointment of arbitrators is concerned, Honourable Chairperson, one of the main advantages of arbitration is perceived to be that parties can appoint their own arbitrators, people that they have confidence in. Now, in an international arbitration involving a substantial amount of money, there will typically be a tribunal of three arbitrators. And typically what could happen is the parties are from different countries, so each will propose one of their own nationals as their own arbitrator. That person must still be independent and impartial. That duty is owed to both parties. But if I'm a South African business corporation, I'm involved in an international dispute with a party from Singapore or Nigeria, I know the South African arbitrator understands my culture and our business environment and our laws. The chairman, the chairperson, should ideally be neutral and not be of the nationality of either party unless the parties agree to a departure from that. Now, where the parties cannot agree on the composition of the tribunal, if they have agreed to arbitrate under a set of rules like those of the International Chamber of Commerce, then the International Chamber of Commerce will appoint the tribunal. But these European-based arbitration institutions are under increasing competition from institutions based in Asia and the Middle East. This is something we need to do in Africa, promote our own institutions here. But in any event, there is a growing recognition that if the arbitration involves an African party, there should be an African arbitrator on that tribunal. The days of having three Western arbitrators in an arbitration involving an Asian party and an African party are treated as unacceptable. And then coming back to your concern about multinational corporations, we here need to draw a distinction between commercial arbitration and investment arbitration. This legislation is concerned with commercial arbitration, which will typically deal with contractual disputes between the parties. In investment arbitration, the dispute will typically be between the host state where the investment has taken place and the foreign investor. And over the last 10-12 years, the South African government, in my view correctly, has altered its position on investment arbitration, and the Protection of Investment Legislation of 2015 provides that if there is a dispute regarding an alleged breach of international treaty rights by the South African government, then the investor must take the South African government to the South African courts. If I just understand the question, if the party... Yes, well, in the first place, the tribunal resolving the dispute is the arbitral tribunal. And if one looks at the model law article 2A in Schedule 1, the statement is made at the end of paragraph 1 that the law must be applied in a way to promote uniformity in its application and the observance of good faith. And this is becoming an increasingly important factor in arbitration for reasons which have been mentioned in this committee, that the power imbalances between the parties and the need for the parties to conduct themselves in the arbitration with good faith. Modern rules are increasingly enabling the arbitrator to impose penalties on parties which do not conduct themselves in good faith in the arbitration. So the arbitrator, and this is in line with judgments of our constitutional court, must conduct the arbitration fairly. So fairness in the conduct of the arbitration is of absolutely fundamental importance. The parties can to some extent say that what fairness is, but if one looks at Article 18 of the Model Law, the parties have to be treated with equality by the arbitral tribunal. So the fact that one has a lot more power or a lot more money does not justify them getting any form of preferential treatment from the tribunal. And each party must be given a reasonable opportunity of presenting its case. The tribunal then makes its award. And if the award, if the procedure followed during the arbitration is unfair, or if the tribunal exceeds its jurisdiction, then the court can interfere, either by setting aside the award or refusing to enforce it.
Yeah, I'm going to invite you to make an input. But can I make a special request that in your input you also reflect how then our parliament is expected to do oversight on the implementation of this piece of legislation?
Firstly, sorry for coming late. I was at the portfolio committee dealing with the legal practice amendment bill, which they passed, so that will be coming to you as well, and hopefully you'll pass it before we rise. So that's why I couldn't be here at the 6:75. That's why I couldn't be here at the beginning. This is, as far as implementation, this is basically, it's not a bill requiring much government implementation. It is setting up the framework so that international arbitrations can take place here in South Africa. I think there's a desire to, some other countries on the continent are trying to become the arbitration centers. So Kigali, Nairobi, Mauritius. But it's not, this, you don't have to legislate about that. That would be for the arbitration sector to organize. They may well come to government and ask for assistance in terms of visas and things like that, but there's nothing for government, there's no expenditure. I mean, the expenditure for government in the implementation of this act, I would say, would be close to zero, I can't think, because government, it's giving the framework to allow the arbitration to take place, and that's what the arbitrators are wanting and have been pushing for. So it would then mean we can then be part of the international arbitration community, and people can try and attract South Africa as a destination for international arbitration. How it works, I guess we can get figures from the bodies about how many are taking place, and does there need to be government intervention to promote? I mean, I know the Mauritians put a lot of energy into promoting Mauritius, but they don't seem to get many international arbitrations. I'm surprised. I would have thought it would have been a wonderful place to, you know, settle your dispute in an arbitration and have a nice holiday. but that they only have about three a year or so. But you know, it's not a government implementing. It's not a bill for government to implement. It's a bill that's then left it open for arbitrators to promote South Africa as a destination. And the they've been pushing for it for some time. I think because it's not so much of a government program, it's in a sense got left because it's not somebody within government driving, if I want to speak of legislation, so this program can be driven. It's been the arbitrators themselves, but they have waited some time, and you know, the desire is to pass the bill so that they can then run with the process from there, and we can then look at what further we give, what support we give to ensuring that South Africa does become an attractive attractive destination for international arbitration. I don't know if that covers it. And so my coming to the committee, I wanted, as I said, to come in the beginning. I'd also particularly, as it's the first time to appear before you as chair, and to congratulate you on your position. That's basically it.
No, thanks, Christian. I want to believe one of us is still compared to the information on this one. I would very much to love to have the DM present when we deliberate on this bill, because from where I'm sitting, there's a lot of politics around it. So I'm not sure if we'll be able to do that. And given the time factor, one of the members, I think we should close this item or to allow other processes to unfold, because in terms of the procedure, then public participation should happen. I believe it's based on the Lamusa judgment that even on Section 75 legislation, we have to do with public participation. So, and our process, but we're expected at least to conclude the processes of this bill around the 15th of November, and the DM expects of us to pass this piece of legislation before we arrive, and that is the end of November at least, because the first week of December, at the end of November, is appropriation and so on. So, for roughly 20 days at most to complete our processes and pay it to the House for consideration and adoption. Can we close it at that and allow the process to unfold?
Chairperson, on the latter note that you just posed, given that we are operating as a cluster, I would really raise the question that let's ensure that much as we'll be embarking on a public hearing, let's remember that there's already commitments from the other committee. I would really urge that our technocrats let us sit together and ensure that they concretize where we can be able to couple the two. So that would be my submission, Chair.
Maybe just, I mean, I know it's two separate processes, but from the National Assembly process, it was more there wasn't great reaction. It was more there are arbitration bodies in South Africa, so they came and gave support of spoke in support of the bill. There was one person who raised a technical problem which was corrected in the National Assembly, that was the relationship with the maritime. So what I'm trying to say is it's not going to be a great interest. You must make it available for public comment, but it's not one of these bills that there's going to be great public interest. And the arbitration sector have been involved, and you know, some of them may have different opinions, but we've been able to say to them, look, accept this and get the bill passed so you can start operating with international arbitrations. But it's not going to be a big public controversy. There wasn't in the NA, and because the one mistake that was picked up was corrected, there may be very little, if any, response.
Thanks, Dan and the team. Thank you very much. towards this now. You can benefit us with the supporting memorandum, so we can understand the genesis.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we continue with our agenda? I think we're going to be running later now. We have to spend time on this one. Yeah, I think it was ready. What do you think on the agenda? Item 2 is consideration of the report on the suspension from Office of Magistrate and the withholding of the remuneration of Mr. Ho. All the honourable members. Yes, you want to refresh our memory quickly on this one?
And this one, the 18th of October, we received a briefing from the Magistrate Commission on Finance Matters. Magistrate Boyer has been suspended since December 2016, so he's not receiving a salary at the moment. And they briefed us that if our Department of Responsibility is ready just to confirm that. So the 18th meant to see the breach of that, and the report is really just to reflect that to the House for the House to approve that.
Are we fine with that in the notes?
Yes, sir.
Can we refer it to the House? So we
agree. Yes,
sir. Thank you. Can we get the formal mover and second to the form? One of the members that move, then not in place, but again. Thank you very much. Consideration and adoption of a report informing the interview of the death of Magistrate Mr. L. Ramsey.
Just for clarity, I just want to check, is it for the first time that one of the magistrates passes on while the still a case pending?
I've been with the committee since 2012, and this is the first time that we've had a magistrate passing. I'll have to check previous committee secretaries whether they've had this case before.
saying this thing, Jefferson, because I might be raising this thing not, vividly. I remember there was some stage, if not mistaken, where someone also passed on. But can it be verified? Because at times, we might just look it from the face value, only to find that there are aggravating situations that are also contributing. I'm just saying it. Chairperson, if you check what is happening, I'm sure I might be far away from the relevant issue, the issues of the city many, you know, where people are dying because of alleged depressions, you know. So I'm just saying it from the back of my mind. Perhaps if we can just assert in ourselves. But nonetheless, with regard to the report, I don't have any problem.
You know, since the beginning of this term, I've been deployed into the Magistrates Commission. Some of the issues will serve before the Magistrates Commission. The issues that we are making reference to. In many instances, because Magistrates Commission, magistrates are not appointed in terms of the labor relations. That's another thing we must throw a separation on. They're appointed in terms of their own act, the registered act. So it applies on their issues to labor relations. So issues of causes of death are not necessarily material on the Magistrates Commission or the Committee of Parliament to consider. I know for the fact that it is referred to the government that was having a matter, a pending matter on different issues and so on.
Thank you very much, Chair. The caption of the item in the agenda is a bit misleading. It is as if, in the main, we are called to note the death, the passing away of the magistrate, no? As this committee enters it. But fortunately, when you go to the report itself, it's very clear that the reason why it's coming here is not because a magistrate is bad.
On the point of order, Chairperson. That is why I said I was trying to separate the two. Please, can I clarify my point? If you check from time to time where we've been engaging with the issue of magistrate disciplinary processes, in most instances, I think the whip will also bear testimony. They were either involved in more of alcohol intake, absenteeism at work, you know, so I'm saying, much as you are arguing it from that angle that you are arguing from, I might not really conclude that issues of death might be relating to that. But I'm just saying, generally speaking, you know, much as I take note of what is happening, because the report here, it's saying someone died in office. We are not aware of the causes. I'm not a medical practitioner, but I'm saying it loudly from the background of what has been the background in terms of most of the cases that we dealt with, that has to do with the discipline of the magistrates in terms of the Magistrate Commission, Magistrate Act. I'm not dealing with the merits of the death. Please, Chairperson, with due respect.
Yeah, okay. But can you still allow
I'm actually raising a separate matter. I was not responding. So I thought you had to do the
that. That's why I'm allowing you to
exactly.
So that I can make a proper ruling from the chair.
I'm raising this particular matter to say that going forward, no? Can we make sure that the capturing is very clear? Because it's not about us just noting and accepting or whatever, no? Of the passing away of
Okay.
It's about this report, no? At least I'm saying, at least in the report, the body of the report, as captured here, is verified, no? I'm just seeing a problem with how the agenda is captured.
Okay.
Let me finish.
we should do that yesterday.
Yeah,
we couldn't do that yesterday.
We should do that yesterday.
So I would.
Now you have to go back. Are we part of the meeting, Chief?
I don't know.
I needed to take advice on this one. Remember, I'm new.
But Chief, I remember yesterday, going to the script. Yesterday, Anwar Mohapi dealt decisively with the really incumbent from the housing province. But we knew it's not an excuse.
You want to be as brutal as
you
want.
Well, I'm just saying, but be fair. No animal farm mentality, all equal.
No comment.
Yeah, no, they
that's
a
right
about
it.
No, but then can we then agree to the report as they would honest members? I think it's well, thank you very much. So the report is accepted on that basis. So then honourable members, can we then consider the two sets of minutes of minutes? Can we then deal with the draft minutes of the listing of the flat plan dated 18 October?
Mm-hmm.
I again don't know what
where are minutes?
The last
attached to the report.
Last few pages.
Can we then go page by page? I don't know what convention is, where I come from with this page by page. If you find the minutes. Yeah? Page 1, and correction on page 1. Page 2. Order. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. So I take it members are able to correct that the minute I pull that.
Chairperson, page 3. There are actions that are supposed to be dealt with. Yes, indeed, we are dealing with a true reflection of the report. But I was just saying, in page 3, members requested the holistic report from the Magistrate Commission on all costs incurred of each magistrate currently on the provisional suspension. Can I just get an indication just before we get to that option? When can we get the report?
Okay, can we first adopt the minutes and deal with the question for all of them, because it's now a matter of writing. Can we get a mover for the minutes?
Second.
I'm happy in a second. So the minutes are agreed to. So you want to ask your question on the minute?
Yeah, I wanted to ask your question.
Please do that.
On the minute. With regard to the minute of the 25th. Which ones are you?
18. And 18 you can ask because you were there.
So the 18th one.
So we are fine on that one.
Yeah.
And they are adopted.
You can continue to the 25th one.
Okay. Can we help first get a response on one of the happy session?
We have not received the report back yet, but we'll send them a reminder about the issue. We have received it from the Magistrate Commission.
You find it.
Okay.
So the next set of minutes is the minutes dated 25 October 2017.
Yes.
Can you go through page 1? There's only 2 pages. Any issues? Honorable Wana?
I'm not surviving my head for issue. I was just
So, Honourable Anna moves for the adoption. Honourable Anna gave the second. So, the minutes are accepted as a full record.
So, then that concludes the business of the meeting.
Honourable Member.
But I'm going to ask you a question. But it's fine because
you're speaking
out.
No, I
didn't. No, we are adopting.
We just adopted the meeting. We have not done with the meta-analysis. You can raise your voice, Honourable Member.
No, it's fine.
You're fine. You sure?
Number.
I don't know if he said the next time I said it.
Why are you
so the meeting stands adjourned?
I hope you've been sharing your questions about something.
Liberate.
But we saw each other every day.